Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Jesus was wounded is our series, or Jesus was wounded is our topic today, so we could find healing. Anyone here have any wounds, like scars? They're like, you're proud of those scars. Any guys in the house, you're proud of your scar? There's some bragging rights, or there's a road rash, or there's something, you learned a new thing on your skateboard when you're a kid, or bike, and you came home and you're proud of that, okay? When I was a kid, I have a scar on my body, and I don't know if it's God's way of playing a joke on my brothers or being kind to the people around me. Both my brothers are mostly bald, and I have a full head of hair, and I think it's because God loves you guys. Because when I was a kid, I fell backwards at a kindergarten, and they had exposed beams that weren't sanded down like probably OSHA or other people today wouldn't pass any building inspection codes. I fell back, I busted open my head, and got some scars, some stuff, like even slivers in there. No one knew, didn't tell my mom. My hair was like, I was a towhead blonde, it was out like this. So I got home, put a hat on, you know, bathed that night. No one knew, it hurt, I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing, you know? And so a couple days later, I realized it was getting sore. And all of a sudden, my mom touched my head. It started to, like, ooze out. She goes, "What's this?" And so I had gotten a pretty big infection. They tried to get it better with medicine. That didn't work. So they actually had to carve out back of my head, back here, part of my head. And praise God, hair grows. But if I was to shave my head, I would be an ugly, bald-headed man. But wounds, we all have probably something we could point to, a scar or a wound. But today I want to talk about how Jesus was wounded. And I'm not talking about today the type of wounds that you could point to the scars on your body. I'd rather kind of want to go a little deeper today and talk about those wounds that some of us have, not on our bodies on the outside, but maybe some stuff on the inside that we've never allowed God to heal. And I believe God heals. And I believe God has a plan for everyone, but there's some of you in here that you've gone through trauma. You've gone through some deep emotional hurt. And some of it was abuse, but some of it was maybe just hurt. Or maybe there's some sexual abuse or physical abuse or emotional abuse. And I don't want to minimize those times because they're very painful. But some of us have not been able to move beyond those times. And those times in our past are almost like hitching posts and not guideposts. We kind of march around the same area, not get a whole lot of traction moving forward. And so today I want to talk about how Jesus can heal us. And I want to look at the text in Isaiah chapter 53. It's kind of the starting point for today, and really we kind of get the talking points for where we're going. But Isaiah chapter 53 says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are what? We're healed." Now that's not just a cute little statement that the prophet Isaiah wrote about. Isaiah was talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that he would take our pains upon him, our suffering upon himself, and he was bruised and crushed, and he was crucified for us, but by his wounds we're healed. And so we want to talk about that today, because we all have wounds. Now I love what the text says. He took up our pain, he took up our suffering, the punishment that brought us peace, was on him, and by his wounds were healed. Five truths about his wounds. If you have the worship guide, or if you've downloaded our app, we have the notes on there digital as well, through the YouVersion embedded in our app, and so you can look at that. But five truths about Jesus' wounds. Number one, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on, we could probably spend a week on each one of these, but it's kind of a cursory overview. But we want to pray for people, and we're going to believe that God's going to heal people today from wounds, okay? Number one truth about Jesus' wounds is his wounds were inflicted by others. He wasn't self-inflicted wounds. They were wounds inflicted by others. Other people wounded him. He can identify with us if we've been wounded by other people because his wounds were inflicted by other people. The second truth about Jesus' wounds is his wounds blessed others. Not just was he wounded, And not was he just wounded by other people. His wounds are now blessings. That's why by his wounds we are healed. See, when you begin to understand that God can heal our wounds, you realize that's a blessing that he went through that so he could provide for us healing. Anyone here glad that he can provide for us the healing we need? The third truth about his wounds is his wounds identified him. I have a friend in college who was burned in a fire when he was 5 years old, and his face was burned, and he lost several of his fingers. And his wounds identified. We knew that was Tim Hammy because Tim Hammy, you know, and Tim learned how to navigate life very well. But Jesus, his wounds identified him. There's a time when after he was crucified and rose from the dead, he presented himself to the disciples. In Luke chapter 24, we see what this narrative says. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. What did he show them? His wounds. They could identify that he was the man that had been crucified 3 days earlier. Because why? You could identify him by his wounds. Not just that. Later on we'll read, in fact, well, how many of us in here are identified by our wounds? Think about that for a second. Sometimes some of us may be too identified by our wounds. We've been hurt, and how many of you know hurt people are hurt by people, and hurt people oftentimes hurt other people, but healed people bring health to other people. Sometimes we're identified by our hurts. Sometimes we're identified by our wounds. And today we want to talk about how God can help us heal our wounds. The fourth truth about Jesus' wounds is his wounds became scars. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Then I saw a lamb looking out as if it had been slain." He saw, this is John the Revelator. He wrote the book of Revelation. He's wrote it seeing prophetic visions. And he looked out and saw what? A lamb looking as if it had been slain. Why? Because it had been slain. He's talking about Jesus, the lamb that was worthy to be slain from what? The foundations of the earth. His wounds became scars. And they're scars. How many of you know that the only man-made thing in heaven are the scars on Jesus' body? Heaven's been made by God, but the one thing in heaven that was not made by God was man's wounds, because we have a Savior named Jesus who understands human woundedness. And every time Father God looks at his Son who sits at the right hand of God the Father, he sees the mars of the human wounds, and he has a Son that identifies. And I'm sure the Bible says the Son and the Father are ever interceding on our behalf. And there's a Son in heaven right now named Jesus saying, "Dad, can we heal someone else? Because I know what it's like to go through those wounds. And I've got scars to prove the healing happens." The fourth truth, or the fifth truth about Jesus' wounds, is his scars are the proof of triumph. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne of the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" That the lamb that was slain, those scars are now scars of triumph. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is triumphant. And through all he went through, it didn't keep him down. Every wound he took, he did it so you and I could walk in healing, friends. Every scar he has is a proof of triumph. In the Gospel of Luke,
After Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness, he goes back to Jerusalem. He's handed a scroll, and he opens it up to begin to read the scroll in the synagogue that day in the public reading time. He reads, and he begins to read. And Luke chapter 4 records the reading, Isaiah chapter 61, and it says this: the Spirit of the Lord, the reason why Jesus came, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he did something uncustomary. He sat down in the synagogue. Typically they'd read and they'd expound and they'd exegete it, talk about it. He read that and he sat down. He was quiet. And everyone looked at him, and some of them were probably a little socially awkward, like, why is it quiet? Let's get some noise in this place. And then Jesus said, today, everything I read is fulfilled in your hearing. See, there's five foundational ministries of Jesus. There's five reasons why he came. And he unpacks them. In Isaiah unpacked them and prophesied about it. He read it in Luke 4. And the five foundational ministries of Jesus. Why did Jesus come? Number one, to bring salvation. He came to preach good news to the poor, or the gospel. How do you know the gospel is good news? And good news needs to be shared. And that's why I encourage all of you to bring a friend to church on Easter, because the gospel, we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for everyone who believes, the salvation of everyone who believes. He came to preach salvation. The second foundational ministry was spirit baptism. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. We need to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As dads, we need to be anointed as dads, as the pastors and priests of our home. God, how many of you know we need to walk in a spirit-empowered life where God anoints us in power? How many of you guys believe that? Yeah. All right, got a couple amens. I don't know about you. We can do it with hand tools or power tools. I'd rather do it with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Salvation, spirit baptism. The third foundational ministry of Jesus is healing. He came to what? Give recovery of sight to the blind. How many of you are thankful that God can heal physical wounds? How many of you are thankful that God can do miracles that you cannot fathom? The fourth foundational ministry of Jesus is deliverance. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty. I remember several years ago when a family came to church and sat in the third row there. Former heroin addicts, former heroin sales or dealers who accepted Christ, and a couple weeks later got married, and now this person's a head usher in several of our gatherings, and God has transformed this person because God does deliverance. God sets people free. Aren't you glad God can set the captive free? Anyone here, you've been set free by a God. You were addicted at one time, or you had life-controlling patterns, but God sets you free. Aren't you thankful that there's deliverance because he can set the captive free? The last foundational ministry of Jesus is emotional healing. It's when God heals the inside, no one can see. Jesus said this: he sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Another version say those who are bruised, those who have some wounds on the inside that when you touch it, it's sore still. And he says he heals the broken heart. We must understand, though, if he sets at liberty the oppressed, what does oppressed mean? I want to present to you the idea that inside, wounds on the inside don't come unaccompanied without a lie from Satan. To set at liberty the oppressed, what's that look like? When people are hurt, how many of you know the devil loves to lie? In fact, when he lies, he tells you, the Bible says when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. And so there are some of you in here that you've been wounded in the past on the inside. You can't see it on the outside. There's no scar that you purport to the healing. Maybe there's still an open wound, but Jesus came to heal you. But the devil comes and says, you'll never find healing. You'll never be accepted. You're not valued. You're not worth anything. You're not you're not healable or lovable anymore. People walk with those lies. But I want to take a moment and I want to speak the truth. Because how have you know that if you know the truth can set you free, the Bible says. See, a wounded spirit is an injury to any area of our soul, our mind, our will, or our emotions where we're injured. And it kind of takes the wind out of our sails on the inside. It's an injury to the unseen areas of our heart or of our being. The only way people can see this injury is how we behave and how we conduct ourselves. See, some of us are pretty good through our woundedness of masking it with defense mechanisms, but eventually that inward hurt comes out when someone pokes you hard enough or someone does something, that wound comes out, that injury, and sometimes it affects more of us than deeper on the inside than others. The deeper the wound, the greater the negative effect on our spiritual, social, material, and physical life. See, sometimes these wounds are so deep they actually hurt us physically. The author of Proverbs says it this way: the human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? A human spirit can endure sickness. In other words, you can be physically sick, but a crushed spirit, who can bear it? He says earlier, Solomon in Proverbs 17 says, a cheerful heart is what? Good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Here's what I believe the author is saying, is that the wounded spirit is more dangerous than physical sickness or ailment. In other words, the inner deep hurts on the inside. And if all I was talking about was wounds today, there's no hope. But how do you know that Jesus came and was wounded so we could find healing? But we have to understand, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A sick body can be helped by a healthy spirit. But a crushed spirit cannot be helped by a healthy body. Let me say that again. A cheerful heart is good medicine, and a sick body can be helped by a healthy spirit. But a crushed spirit can't be helped by a healthy body. In other words, when there's wounds on the inside, you've been crushed, you've been bruised, you've been hurt. How do we deal with that? You can't laugh it off. It's no laughing matter. Laughter doesn't even always help in that case. But Jesus can heal those crushed, dried spirits, the bones that hurt on the inside because of abuse or pain. God can heal a sick spirit no matter how bad you've been wounded. I want to encourage you today. Some of you in here, others in here, some of you in here are blessed. You grew up in a healthy family. There hasn't been the deep wounds, but there's others of you in here that have been trying to get your boat to calm in the storm because you've had to walk through so much hurt and woundedness. See, sometimes the lie that comes with wounds sounds like this: God wasn't there for you at that time. Why do you need him now? God doesn't love you. If he loved you, that never would have happened. If God was real, you probably wouldn't feel the pain. You'll never get past this feeling you have right now. This is just as good as it's going to get. This is just your lot in life and the oppression and the fear and the lack of trust in loving God. But God knew you'd be wounded, and even right now has a reminder sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He sees the wounds on his son, and he knows those wounds were there because by his stripes you are healed. The oppression. See, God knew. Because the lamb that was worthy slain from the foundations of the earth is there. God knows the pain is real. God knows the wounds are real. God looks over at the wounds of his son, and he knows because of those wounds, you can be healed. God's a faithful God. God is a God who restores. God is a God who heals. God is a God who is greater than a lie, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. See, God conquered so we could find healing. Christianity is the only faith that has faith in a God who has man-made wounds, and yet he has those wounds so he could what? He could provide healing for those of us in here today who need healing. How do you do it? You open yourself up. You say, God, I want to trust again. That's the challenge. Oftentimes when we have oppression because of the wounds and the enemy comes and lies, the inability to trust and the inability to open up and say, that's the challenge. I've often told young people, the only place you're safe from the risks of love is where? Hell itself. Sometimes you have to trust again. Sometimes you got to let down the defense mechanisms. And when it comes to God, you have to say, God, I'm going to trust you when I can't trace you, and I'm going to believe you're going to heal me in the areas that don't make sense right now. See, God can turn your wounds into scars, just like his wounds have been turned into scars. Christ's emotional wounds, how many of you know he had a lot of emotional wounds? He felt hated. John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. He had the feeling of oppression and afflicted. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. How many of you have ever been treated harshly and kept your mouth shut? He was treated harshly and yet didn't say a word. He felt ashamed. Isaiah 53, 3. He was despised and rejected. Anyone ever felt despised and rejected? Those aren't emotions we sign ourselves up for. Yeah, hey, sign me up for that. You know, like the seventh grader or the elementary kid that was going to get picked for a school assembly. Yeah, pick me, pick me. We don't say pick me when it comes to rejection and despisement. A man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised. And we did not care. This is Isaiah's talking about how Jesus would be despised and rejected, and the world would turn their back on him. He knew what it was like to have people too ashamed to identify with him. What happened when he was arrested, his disciples scattered. Why? Because they were ashamed. They didn't want to be identified with him. Peter even denied him 3 times. There comes a time where he understands those who feel like people turn their back on, they're ashamed of them. Fourthly, he was betrayed. He felt betrayal. He understands betrayal. John chapter 13, verse 21. Now Jesus was deeply troubled. And he exclaimed, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me. We often are wounded by those closest to us. One of you will betray me. It's not betrayal. I'm not betrayed by people who don't know me. But it's when those close to you betray you and say things harshly and hurtful. It's like, man, I thought we had a better. You can't be betrayed. He was betrayed by those he was close to and those he loved. And fifthly, he felt lonely and isolated. Anyone ever felt lonely and isolated? Mark chapter 14, verse 50 says, then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. All his disciples deserted him and ran away. How many of us have ever felt those foundational wounds, the ones that Jesus felt? There's times we feel lonely and isolated and we feel ashamed and we feel afflicted and oppressed and betrayed and hated. But Jesus is qualified, my friends, to meet all of your needs. He heals all our diseases. He heals all our wounds. There's this belief that I got to fight for victory. I got to kind of put my life together and fight for victory. Friends, as believers, we don't fight for victory. We fight from a place of victory. We've got an almighty God that forgives and heals. And we fight not for healing. We fight for he's already there to provide it for us. God can begin to heal. Jesus has already won the victory. Greater is he that's in us than he that's what? In the world. The Bible says we're more than what? Conquerors for those who... No weapon formed against me shall prosper. By his stripes we are healed. We fight from victory. We surrender our wounds to Jesus, the inner rawness, the feelings on edge, the overly sensitiveness about everything, the part where you can't feel loved or loved, lashing out, the self-hatred, the escapism, the retaliation, the perfectionism, the drivenness, the obsessive compulsive disorders, the hostility toward God, self, and others. The list goes on. All the areas, all the manifestations of our weaknesses, of our wounds. These are not responses for someone who's been healed. Our Almighty God sent his Son to die on a cross, and by his stripes we're healed. In Psalms 147, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. See, God's words over you, my friends, is you're loved, you're accepted. You can live with honesty, you can live with hope, you can live with healing. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. In 1 Peter, the author says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have, what's it say? Have been healed. Have, past tense. You can fight from victory, not for victory, because you have been, by his wounds, you have been healed. God wants to heal the deepest inner parts of every one of our hearts and lives, the woundedness. Psalms 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The lie of the enemy is, where is God when you are hurt? But the truth of God is he's close to the brokenhearted. And he's close to those who are crushed. And the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. The Message translation says this: if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. How do you know? He's right there. He's right there. I love when David was talked about in Psalms. It says, if I go to the heavens, he's there. If I go to the depths of the oceans, he's there. Where can I flee from God's presence? Nowhere, because God is the omnipresent God, is right there where you're at. He knows what you're walking through. And he has scars to prove he's triumphant past it all. And by his wounds, you have been healed. How do we receive healing? How? Number one, three simple ways. And I say simple, they're simple, but they're hard when you're walking through it. Number one, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Let God heal you. The challenge is, as long as you remain have unforgiveness in your heart, it's very hard to walk in healing. Because God, what's one of the only sins God cannot forgive? Unforgiveness. I cannot forgive those who don't forgive others. Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to realize you were the prisoner. Forgiveness is setting that prisoner free, only to realize you were the prisoner. Unforgiveness is when you swallow poison, hoping the other person dies. Forgive. And forgive, forgiveness is just letting go. God gave us a ministry of reconciliation, not to hold men's sins against them. Unforgiveness is simply to let go. God, I let go of that. I'm not going to carry that. Forgiveness, number one. Number two, love. When I say love, it means to receive God's love. If you've been wounded, trust and receive the love of God and let him love you, for God so loves the world. He's closer than a brother, the Bible says. God's love. God's love will allow the wounded person, the wound, to become a scar. Let him love you and heal that wound to a scar. And lastly, thanksgiving. Change the way you see the wounds. Change the way you see the wounds. I've often thought, and I want to share an illustration or story to close the message out today. I love the narratives of the Bible. I love the Old Testament stories, the New Testament stories. And in the New Testament, when Jesus told his disciples that they're going to strike the shepherd, the sheep are going to scatter, and Peter says, oh, "Man, I will die with you, Jesus." And he believed that, and why wouldn't you? If Jesus is there and he says everyone's going to betray me and walk away, most of us would say, "No, that's not me. I would never do that." Well, hours later, he's arrested. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and Peter falls asleep and gets wakened up again and falls three times. He falls asleep, and then what happens? We know that Judas comes to betray Jesus, and so Judas is in the garden with the high priests, and they're coming to arrest Jesus for crimes that he did not commit. And as they go to arrest Jesus, Peter, who said earlier, "I will die for you, Jesus," meant it, took out his sword, and what did he do? He went to cut a guy's ear off. And you have to understand, how many of you like to be that guy? I don't know if he was pulling night duty at Walmart, and that day they said, "Hey, we got to go out to the garden. I got to need a couple extra guards to come with me." I don't know why he was there, but he went there to arrest Jesus, and Peter aimed for his head and cut off his ear. How many guys want to know? Number one, Peter was a bad aim. And the guy was probably thankful he was a bad aim. But that man had three options to do with that ear. The story says Jesus put it back on, healed him. But the man could have said, "Give me back my bloody ear," and wrestled with Jesus for the ear. And he could have gone home and washed it and got it all cleaned up and put a jar of formaldehyde to make sure he could remember that ear the rest of his life. He's got jar of formaldehyde with his ear. People say, "How you doing?" "Well, I was making minimum wage, pulling night duty one day, and I was, you know, my life's all messed up, probably never get it back, and, you know, 12 years ago." And you ever met those people that can talk about an event, a painful experience, with as much memory and as much pain as the day it happened almost? Because they've put their pain in a jar of formaldehyde, and some of us do that. Some of us take our hurt, and we don't allow anybody to heal it because we don't trust them. And I understand that. It's hard. It's hard to open your life up when you've been wounded. Walk around with a jar of formaldehyde. The other option is you could have let Jesus put the ear back on, but then he could have had a haircut where he shaved one side by that ear. And every time someone asks you how you're doing, "Well, let me tell you something. 12 years ago, 14 years ago, I was pulling night duty, making minimum wage for Walmart. They pulled me over to garden duty. I was arresting this guy named Jesus. I guess they buried him and he rose to the dead. I don't know. I think it was a crock. And see my scar here?" And see, sometimes I think we let Jesus heal part of us, but we're still victims. We still don't walk in complete healing. Maybe another 12 years goes by and he says, "Yeah, how you doing?" "Well, 24 years ago now." You ever met those people? And every time we want to get healed, we let the devil hijack our hookup. We let the devil kind of come in and, "Well, if God really loved you, where was he when that happened?" Or the third way this gentleman could have let Jesus heal it is, he could have let Jesus heal his ear. And when someone said, "I'm walking through a difficult time," he goes, "You know, I don't know what you're walking through, but I know something really powerful about Jesus. There was a day I was in a difficult circumstance. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some guy took aim for my head. I had quick ninja-like reflexes. And the guy cut my ear off, and it hurt. But there's someone named Jesus. And he reached down and he picked my ear up. You see this scar back here? This scar shows and points to the healing power of the Almighty God. I was down. I was hurt. I was wounded. I didn't even know him. I didn't know if I'd like him. But he reached down anyway and touched my ear. And I can tell you right now, I don't know what you're walking through, but if he can heal me, I bet he can heal you. And this scar points to the healing power of the Almighty God. See, friends, I want you to think about something today. Why, if you're here today and you're walking through some stories of pain on the inside that are hard to even talk about, what happens if you open them up to the Almighty God and say, God, I want to forgive the person that those wounds came from. And I want to open those wounds up to the Almighty God to allow Him to love me. Because I want to come to a place of thanksgiving where when someone says they were wounded, I can say, I don't know what you walked through, but I know what I walked through. But I can tell you right now, by His stripes, I've been healed. Been healed. By His wounds. Jesus was wounded so we could be healed. I don't know where you're at today, but I know there's some of you in here that need to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to the inside of you today, to heal wounds today. Don't put your wounds in a jar of formaldehyde and be a victim the rest of your life. That's not God's dream for your life. He wants you to walk in freedom. He wants to set at liberty the oppressed and bind up the brokenhearted. There's going to be a couple things that happen in the next few moments. I'm going to close in prayer in a moment. We're going to have the ushers come in a moment to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. But then we also want to open the altars up at the end for those that want prayer. Our prayer team will be here. And the Bible says when two or three gather together in His name, He's in the midst of those prayers. And I believe God can heal today. But I think it happens when we open up and realize I got to trust. I got to step out and trust. And I got to open up my heart and my defense mechanisms to Jesus. But let me pray over you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place this morning? Father, I submit these wounds and memories that people have to You. God, I ask You to heal people from stress, of the hurt today, and give them peace. And God, I pray that You would disconnect every evil power that may have gained access through the events and the wounds and the hurt from the lies from the enemy, Lord. And I pray that they would connect to God today as a source of life and healing. God, there's some in here that have lived under so much oppression, so many lies. They'll never be good enough. They'll never find healing. They'll never find hope. And God, I just rebuke those lies today and let people realize that You will bind up the brokenhearted and you'll be close to those with a crushed spirit today. And Lord, I pray that people would choose by the act of the will to forgive. In fact, in your own way right now, just if there's wounds from people, would you just say, Lord, would you help me as I forgive? And just name under your breath or silently those people that you need to forgive, the people that have wounded you the hardest or the deepest. Bring healing. In Jesus' name. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. In other words, if you died today, you're not sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die and after that to face judgment. We know one thing. We know that we all have an expiration date. And the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So if you're here today and you've never made a commitment to make Jesus the Lord of your life, we know this is important. Once for man to die and after that to face judgment. And you either have a relationship with Jesus or you don't. We've all sinned, so we all deserve to die. But Jesus sent his only son to die on the cross, the same cross that brings our healing for the wounds deep inside. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, so I want to pray with you. In other words, if you died today, you don't know your eternal destiny. The expiration date in your life comes up today. Do you know for sure if you're in the right place with Jesus? You can. The Bible says it's as simple as confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he died and was buried and rose again. You'll be saved. If you're here today and you want to make sure your eternal destiny is going to the right location, heaven and not the place separated from God, would you bow your heads and pray with this prayer with me silently? Dear Jesus, today I want to receive your forgiveness. You died on the cross for me. Please forgive me today for my sins. Please be my Savior. And please be my life leader. Help me serve you the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit TrueNorthAK.org.